The first scripture lesson today is from James, chapter 3, selected verses. Who is wise and knowledgeable among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant and lie about the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are not at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you have on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. The second scripture reading is from Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Jesus and the disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching the disciples, saying to them, quote, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again," end quote. But they did not understand what Jesus was saying and were afraid to ask for an explanation. Then they came to Capernaum. And when Jesus was in the house, he asked them, quote, "What were you arguing about on the way?" End quote. But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, quote, "Whoever wants to be the first must be the last of all and servant of all," end quote. Then Jesus took a little child and put the child among them. And taking the child in his arms, Jesus said to them, quote, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me," end quote. God's word for God's people. God is still speaking.
Jesus was in the house. Jesus was in the house. That's what that passage from the Gospel of Mark says. And oh, how conversations change when Jesus is in the house. Those first disciples had been going at it, arguing, says our text, about who was the greatest. Then Jesus shows up. Kind of like when the boss appears out of nowhere next to the Keurig machine. That's where it happens now, right? That is, if you still go to an office. But could still be the water cooler, too, since those cut down on the use of bottled water. Or maybe it's like those times when an adult shows up as the kids are cutting up or going after each other. The conversations, the atmosphere, the energy, all change instantly. Do you think Jesus heard us? Jesus must have heard us. All the other disciples probably whipped around to look at Peter and said, "Well, if you hadn't started it." So Jesus sits them all down, starting with himself, and makes it abundantly clear that whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Then Jesus, to took a little child and put the child among them. And taking the child in his arms, Jesus said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." A sidebar with a reminder about children in the first century of the Common Era. Jesus' time on this earth. Children and servants of that time shared an equally low status. Children, especially the youngest ones, contributed virtually nothing of economic value to a household or community. Children were in many ways a considerable burden until they were old enough to work and help with household tasks. Children in Jesus' day were not generally treated like little royal charges as we so often do now in our culture. For Jesus to single out a child, to hold that child, to equate that child with himself, and to teach the disciples that welcoming children is welcoming Jesus, is welcoming God, was, in the words of biblical scholar Sharon Ring, a powerful and even shocking depiction of the paradoxical values of God's will and reign. It's kind of hard for us to get our heads around, since children play such a different role in our lives today. And children remain an essential part of most Christian communities today. But wow, those first disciples must have been like, "What is he talking about?" God's will and God's reign, God's ways, are actually quite paradoxical to so many, actually nearly all of our human ways. Context matters for exploring the original intent of our biblical stories and for discovering their relevance for us today. One of the things that rarely ceases to amaze me about the Bible is how a story like the one from the Gospel of Mark or our scripture reading for today from the letter of James work equally well, differently in some respects, of course, but equally well in the first century and in the 21st century. We return to the Bible again and again, not just because we're told to as part of our faith, but I think in part because the stories still resonate with and still inspire and still teach and still challenge our human condition, our search for faith, our experience of mystery, our quest for meaning, and our love of God. When we hear this text from Mark today, we hear it not long after two consecutive Sundays that began with a doubleheader baptism for Maria and Lynn, followed by Amelia's confirmation, and shortly after we have started a new year of Sunday school for our children. The baptism of a child is a powerful moment in the life of a Christian community of faith. It is a moment when a local church gathers to remember, enact, and proclaim together, "Welcome, child of God. You are gifted with new life in Christ, and you are a blessed part of the entire body of Christ." We called upon, invoked, called down, called around, brought forth God's Holy Spirit to bless the water, to bless those children, to bless their parents and older siblings and their grandparents and their godparents. And we blessed the pastor. We blessed us all in our remembering and celebrating, as we shared and received again the ancient ritual promise and gift of new life in Christ. For each of us who have been baptized, there was a time, like Lynn's and Maria's if we were infants, or very young children, or considerably different if we were youth or adults. Yet, once upon a time, a community of people called church gathered around us, each of us, and promised to be there for us as spiritual mentors, guides, examples, teachers, companions, disciples on the way of Jesus. To share a baptism within a congregation gathered as God's worshiping people is to say loud and clear what we do here with the water, with the word, with the music, with this community is about and for all of us. The baptism of any infant or child or youth or adult is how we name and ritualize and recognize as a sacrament, a visible and outward sign of an invisible and inward grace, the belonging of that individual's new life in Christ. That person, young, old, or in between, is counting on us, all of us, each one of us, to lead the way into and to join them on the way of that new life in Christ. That is our mission as the body of Christ. How powerful, how blessed it was to share that day, that blessed late August day, in the finale of our summer worship together with our neighbors and friends from First Congregational Church and family members and friends from beyond both of our congregations. Mission as Christians, as people who follow in the way of Jesus, is to make disciples, to baptize, to teach, and to remember that Jesus is with us always. In the sacrament of baptism, we powerfully, ritually, biblically, covenantally, and missionally affirm the presence of God already in that person and the gift of new life in Christ for that person. And this is just the beginning. For the beauty of having two infant baptisms one Sunday before we shared in the ritual of confirmation for another one of our youth is that it is much easier for us to connect the dots between those two worship experiences when they happen so closely together. While baptism is the mark of one's belonging in the universal and mystical body of the risen Christ, confirmation is a time for a youth to affirm their baptism and become a member of a local congregation. Each local congregation being one small part, whether that congregation has 200,000 members, 2,000 members, 200 members, or 20 members, every single congregation of every conceivable size is but one small part of the body of the risen Christ, no one greater or lesser than another. And Amelia was very clear that she wanted her confirmation to be within this particular local congregation, the one that has nurtured her and helped form her faith for the last 9 years. And now, here we are, on the cusp, or the threshold, a truly liminal time in the life of our congregation as we move through this autumn of even deeper discernment and move toward a momentous congregational vote on our longing and what we have perceived to be our calling to become better together with another congregation. Another congregation that is also a part of the United Church of Christ, that also calls the town of Milton home, and includes and serves people from across all our South Shore region, a community of faith and formation and witness and service very much like this one, that also takes the Bible seriously but not literally, extends Christ's radical hospitality to any and all who will come, that stands for and with all God's children, especially those who live on the margins, that hears and heeds the call of Christ to be agents of transformation, disciples actively engaged in the creation of a beloved community and a new earth of peace through justice, that studies and questions and prays and sings together, trusting that God is still speaking to, with, and through us. The mission and promise of our two congregations to our children, when they are baptized and when they are confirmed, and to every baptized member or visitor who blesses us with their presence, is that we will teach and model and form and nurture and become such a community together for and with them. A well-known African proverb reminds us that it takes a village to raise a child. We, every one and all of us, constitute a very important village for our children. Our children and their families are looking to us as church to raise our children in faith. Yes, it takes a church. It takes church to raise a child to new life in Christ, and it takes church to keep raising us all through adulthood. It takes church to raise a child, a youth, an adult to walk in the way of Jesus. And we are church. Whether we are together in one place or a different place, or in lots of places, we are still church. We are still a community of faith and a community of people who love God and trust that Jesus is in the house and do all of that together as church. Remember, Jesus, in very real ways, is in this house too, this household of God. And our conversations, the atmosphere around us, our energy, and our continuing discernment regarding our future are all in view and earshot and within the ever-present love and power and breath and life of Jesus through the gift of the Holy Spirit, our advocate, our comforter, whom God, our Creator, sent in Jesus' name to teach us everything and remind us of all that Jesus has said to us. So let us thank God for bringing us together to be church, even here and even now, to worship, learn, care, and serve, and to boldly and bravely continue to be and become church in ever new ways that bring God glory and bring God's blessings of love, grace, hope, justice, and peace to every one of our neighbors, near and far. Please, God, we pray, may it be so. Amen and amen.